Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Today, we are going to be talking about one of those horrendous events that can happen in someone's life, one of them, and that is losing their job. There can be no worse thing to happen. Well, there can be, but okay. The bottom line is, it's a terrible day when your boss comes and tells you, "I'm sorry, Charlie or Joyce, whatever your name is, we're going to have to let you go." It is an earthquake in everyone's life when it happens, and it happens to many people. And those who've been through it know it really is an earthquake. That's about the best way to put it, I think. We're going to be talking to a specialist who helps people find a new job, a new career, what to do when they have been outplaced by the corporation they are with. Our guest is Celeste Khalif. She's been a guest on these microphones a week ago in a fascinating discussion. She is the founder of Khalif & Associates, which is a human resource consulting firm that specializes in corporate outplacement. Now, outplacement is a benefit often provided by employers to help employees who are being let go to land on their feet and find another job. Celeste offers career counseling and skills development to help those people prepare for a job search. She does this not only for people who are being let go by a company. In other words, she's not only hired by companies to help their employees that are being let go. She also works for individuals. So if you are, let's say you're in Cincinnati and you're about to lose a job and no one is there to help you, her firm can help you. You can go to her firm, which is based in Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh, and get the advice and the counseling and the kind of help you need to get your career back going again. There's no question, for a lot of people, their job really is their identity. It's what they're known by, what they're known for, and they're not comfortable with themselves when they're out of context, when they lose a job like that. You begin to wonder how long your unemployment and your severance income is going to last, and that's when the pressure really begins. You need to find a new job, and you got to get one quick, even if it means taking a step down. And according to our guest, Celeste Khalif, they process the same emotions when they lose a job that you do when you're faced with the death or the end of a relationship. You're going to be emotional, but you have to find a healthy way to be composed. You want to put your best foot forward at all times when searching for a brand new job. It is very easy to be overwhelmed, no question about it. That's what we talked about last week, and what was talked about last week in Celeste's discussion with Jim Masters. We're going to continue today and go into that subject in more detail, and I'd like to bring her back on the line. She is the president of Khalif & Associates, based in Natrona Heights, Pennsylvania. Again, it's just a bit north of Pittsburgh. So, Celeste, welcome. Nice to have you back again. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to have you here. Let me begin by asking you, number one, a little bit about the background that you bring to this industry. What got you into doing this specialized kind of work? Because it's kind of unique what you do.
Yes, it is. I had a pretty traditional path. When I graduated from college, I was a school teacher. Well, maybe not so traditional. Then I went to work for a politician. And then, you know, when he lost his job, I lost mine. And so from there, I answered an ad for a job developer for the city of Pittsburgh. And it basically said, you have to be able to talk to people and be outgoing. I said, well, that's me. That's how I got my first taste. It was through there then that I networked and went to Performance Group Associates, which was the very first outplacement firm I worked for. And I got to travel to Bethlehem, PA, and to Johnstown, PA. And I did some work in Pittsburgh. and Ashland, Kentucky. And what I did at that point was work with their staff that was being let go. It was a lot of turmoil in the steel industry at that time. And I was working with them to find their jobs and helping them develop resumes and things like that. From there, I went on and I worked for Wright Management. And I was there for a few years, and I had a lot of responsibility. My responsibility was opening up new markets in West Virginia and Kentucky to help build the brand for Wright. Lost my job, came back to Pittsburgh, went to Bizet, and I was there until the owner passed away. And then I found myself without a job again. So I said, well, I can either be a road warrior again and leave every Sunday, come back Friday, or see what does my hometown, Pittsburgh, have to offer me. And I was very fortunate. A couple clients, one was First National Bank of Pennsylvania, and Westinghouse called me like within days of me being severed from my own employment and said, what is going on? And they said, well, if you're going to open up a firm, we'll stick with you. And so they did, and they're still with me today. And since then, SNB has grown. Yes. I mean, so you never know. People look at your work, not exactly where you're doing the work. And that's what I always tell my clients, too. They look at you, not where you came from. They look at you. And I'm a walking testament to that.
You know, you're you're just a little off mic. You sounded so great a little while ago. Try and get back on the mic again, closer to it. Let me ask you a little bit. You've been through this trauma of losing your job three times. You just told me about. Yeah, how did it affect you? Do you recall when that happened to you? What went through your head?
Well, the first time I lost my job. Well, you know, he lost, I lost. And then when I went to the first outplacement firm, I was a little shocked. I was like, you know, this industry's crazy. They pay you well. You travel all the time, and then they just let you go. But then I thought, but I like this industry. So then when I went the second time, I'll be honest, I was angry. Because I was putting in the 60-hour work weeks. I was climbing the old corporate ladder, and then to be told your services are no longer desired. I was like, whoa. I was angry, and it happened around Christmas, and I had staff that had reported to me, so I was worried about them. Obviously, I was not privy to what they were going to do to the offices I had opened. So there was a lot of concern, a lot of anxiety. I'm just like everyone else. I mean, I had bills to pay. I had obligations to meet. But I gave myself a timeline at that point because I did have offers to go to Arizona. I actually had a couple from L.A., several in Philly. And I just decided, that was at a time when my parents were getting a little older. My brother and his wife just had a son who I wanted to see grow up. And I said, let me give this like 6 months to find out, see if I can get a job. And then it was actually through my reputation that I went to Bizet, and they never did have my resume, which was kind of funny. When I lost my job at Bizet, I felt sadness because Vince was such a great man, and he was a good leader. I learned a lot from him. But it was the end. I mean, he passed away. So then I was kind of like, okay, resign. What do I do? And then I really didn't have a chance to think because, like I said, SNB and Westinghouse called me within days. But I
and when they called you,
they did.
Mm-hmm. When they called you, did they want you to come on board in their company, or was it the fact that they would support you and be a client if you opened your own company?
Well, that they would support me. The funny thing about SNB, and he's still a very good friend of mine, he called and he said, what happened? I told him. And he says, well, here's the situation. We just bought another bank in another part of the state. So how long will it take you to get business cards made? Because we want you to do the work. And basically Westinghouse said the same thing.
Wow.
They said, well, you know, we trust you. You've always been honest with us. I pride myself on that, Doug. I'm very honest. You've always been forthright. Your pricing hasn't been outrageous. So we want you to come with us. And then the funny thing, even though, you know, my industry is like any other industry. You have competitors. But I had a lot of my competitors who had worked in the Pittsburgh area that they wanted me to do for them. So I was working pretty steady for like the first 3 years.
Well, that's a great story. You had luck on your side, which is good.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of the people you deal with now who are being let go by other corporations, by the way, you're based in Pittsburgh, but do you work with companies who are doing this only in that area, or do you work with companies in other states and other cities?
No, I go across the country. I am what they call my industry, Doug, a boutique. So I am not affiliated with any one conglomerate. I make the decisions for my business. I have several companies, that are nationwide. So if they want me there, of course I will go. But if they just want to rely on my services and they trust that I'm going to do well by them, I have established an excellent network of career coaches across the country that I can refer the work to. Of course, I'm one of those people. I'm a super A type. I'm always overlooking their shoulder to make sure that they're doing it the way I would do it. But I have that luxury that I can pick people who I know are just as committed to the service of providing, you know, career coaching as I am. But no, I cover the whole country. In fact, I'm going to Ohio next week, and next month I have an assignment in Georgia and another one in South Carolina.
Okay. You just mentioned your services, when they want your mm-hmm. services. It's a great opportunity for me to ask you, what are your services specifically? How do you describe them?
Well, my services are working with the folks to get them over the hurdle. The main hurdle is hurt. They may be angry, but they're hurt. Having them gently close that door on their past life, because you can't move forward unless you close the door. And have them see that there are possibilities out in the world for them to go after. I mean, they've been busy working, having families, having a social life, that they weren't really looking for a job. And now they're thrust into this position of having to find a job. That's where the second part comes in. I make sure that their resume, which is their first impression with any potential employer, and you always have to make a good first impression. So I make sure that their resume is highlighting their accomplishments, making sure that we are telling their potential next employer what they can do for them. Now, it's not a novel, but it's like a snippet, like these interviews. It's just enough to make them want to call you in for an interview, because the only job the resume has is to get you that interview. And then from there, after we get the resume crafted, and that has changed, there's a master resume, then you take your resume and you target it for each job you're applying it for. That has changed dramatically in the last few years. And then we talk about, how do you interview? You know, what kind of questions are they going to ask, especially if you haven't interviewed for like 15, 16, 20 years? What are they going to ask me? And so we go over that. We do a lot of role playing. I help them with the job search. I tell them, yes, use social media, but that's not the only way to find a job. If you recollect, when I told you how I found my other jobs, it was through networking and talking to people.
Right.
So that's how I found all my jobs, except when I answered the ad. So I guess that would be like going on the internet today. But even if you use these excellent websites, like, you know, you need to follow it up with some kind of personal interaction. Because, as you know, Doug, we're all separated by 7 degrees. So somewhere along the line, you have to know someone that knows someone that knows someone. And that's what I go with them through the whole steps. And then when they finally get that job, I am the unbiased person who will do the chalkboard with them, so to speak, pros and cons so they can make a good decision on what whether to accept or not.
You know, you just mentioned something. Maybe ask you the simple question: do you find that these internet websites like LinkedIn and other ones like that are immensely helpful when you're looking for a job, or not necessarily? How would you answer that?
Well, I personally love LinkedIn. I use it a lot. I will read articles that people post. I will comment. Offer suggestions, things like that. LinkedIn has so many components. They have a job component that folks can go on to find jobs that aren't necessarily, for example, on Indeed or Monster. But I really love LinkedIn. And if you're going for an interview, for example, if I was interviewing with you, I would see if you're on LinkedIn because I want to know, A, what you look like so when I walk in, I know who you are. And B, I want to see if there's anything that I can connect my skills and my history with yours to get some kind of a background on who you are. And so I tell them, if nothing else, you know, use it for that, to at least do your homework before you go to the interview to know who the person is. But I personally love LinkedIn. I really do.
So you can kind of build a rapport with that person from the outset. I mean, you may know that he's an avid golfer and you're a golfer, and somehow
right.
in the very first part of the meeting you mentioned something about hitting a hole-in-one somewhere, and, you know, the conversation gets more personal in the beginning.
Right.
Like that help, right? All right, let's
right.
get back
or
to what you
might
do
have
in a company.
From the same college. I'm sorry.
Well, there you go. That's exactly right. That could be a huge help. But when a company brings you in, is it generally after they are letting maybe one or two people go, or is this a situation where, you know, like a big corporation's decided to downsize and they're going to let 500 people go from some location? Obviously, you can't help 500 people at the same time. But when you come in, are they still there while you're helping them, or have they been fired and then – you're helping them at that point. They're no longer with the company. What generally, how is it?
Well, I guess both. And I have helped 500 people. I just want to put that out there.
Really?
Because not everyone
good for
uses
you.
The outplacement. They don't always use the outplacement at the same time. And Doug, I have qualified people that I can call on to help me. So in a situation like that, I would have, I mean, I could talk. But, I mean, there's only so much I can handle. And so
yeah, right.
They will call me in for a larger event. Usually anymore, unless it's a big merger,
mm-hmm.
you don't see those figures. You see them. But what you're seeing, like, on television and reports like that, that's the total figure where it has folks that are retiring, they're no longer going to fill those positions, stuff like that. But, you know, I in the early days, I've done 500. Mostly, and I do one and two. I'm going on site next week, and it's like five people in one site and seven in the other. But I'll also have, right before we talked to each other here, I had a phone call, and it's one person. So it's you know, it's how the companies, what their philosophy is to bring someone in to work with them. And then, you know, you plan what kind of programs they're going to have, whether it's a group dynamic or if it's going to be individual one-on-one coaching, which usually goes 3, 6, 12 months. So that's where it all goes in. It's hard to say. I have a mix of a little bit of everything,
You know, I get the impression, when you think about it, it's kind of decent of the company to bring you in to help these employees that they're going to let go. I mean, you're going to visit a company next week. You already probably know, you know, who's being let go. They don't know about it yet, right?
Right.
That's tough.
I usually know who the people are, and that's part of the confidentiality that I keep
sure.
close to the vest.
Sure.
I will never disclose. I may be talking to you, Doug, and know you're on the list, and I would never say anything.
Yeah.
Never.
I guess the point I was starting to make first that impressed me, I mean, it's, I think it's decent for companies to at least do that. They may be going to fire you, but at least they bring someone like you in to help, you know. Am I right?
Well, yes. A lot of companies, I look at it, it's the humane thing to do. It's like the last training you can offer your employee, because these folks are losing their positions because of an event. It might be the economy, or maybe they're closing their corporate offices, or they merged with another company. It's not because they did anything wrong. They weren't fired.
Right.
They were let go. So a lot of companies just want to do what's decent and help them. Yes, it costs them extra money, but in the long run, it's better for their social awareness and how they're perceived and how they like to do business. All the companies I do work for are very social conscious, and they are very aware of who their employees are, and they care for them.
All right. So when the company does bring you in and you're working with these people, tell me a little bit about how long you may work with them. Do you work with them until they do find another job? You pointed out this could take a couple of weeks, a couple of months. Tell me about your relationship with these individuals, a little bit about that, and how long it lasts.
Well, when I give them the packet of information, there is a quote that I put in the packet to tell them who I am and what their program is going to be. But I always say, I'm always asked, how long is it going to be until I find a job? And I always tell them, until you want one. If you put a deadline, you're going to get really close to that deadline because you're working towards that. A lot of companies do the individual programs. Most, I would say the majority, are 3 months. So I will meet with that person at least once a week. And it doesn't always have to be face-to-face. You know, with technology the way it is today, there could be phone calls. I had a gentleman on vacation last week, and he has an interview this week. And so he called me from the beach and said, can we talk? I need to talk. So, I mean, I'm with them every step of the way. I don't give them any time limits. For example, you can't talk to me on this section. You can't talk interviewing until we have the resume done. Or we can't talk this until you have. If you need to talk to me, if you were lucky enough to get an interview before your resume is completed, like I did, you know, in that one circumstance, of course I'm going to talk to you. I become your employee, so to speak. So I'm there to work for you to help you through this process. Now, say they have a 3-month job and they've been looking for something, and maybe it's a very niche industry they're in. It may take a little longer, Doug, or there might have been circumstances. Because I own my own business, I have the luxury that if I know that you're really working on your job search, of course I'm going to extend it. I'm not just going to say, oops, time's up, see you, have a good life. I don't run my business that way at all. And if you're in a workshop situation, say it's like a 2-day workshop, you go over all the basics, you know, the resume, the interviewing, the job search strategy, all of that, I still allow individual meetings for each person there to voice any concerns they may have that they didn't want to share in the group, and to definitely to make sure their resume is completed. Because you always need that personal touch. So I never really go away. I've had clients, they're on their 4th job, and they'll say, Celeste, I wasn't offered a placement, but you know what, can I send you my resume? Will you look at it, see if it's still good? And so I still do that.
Good.
But I have the
luxury,
very
good.
I can do that.
You know, I also, I understand you do leadership coaching, and that could be for individuals who are not losing jobs, who are not in, you know, involved in a company that's downsizing. This could be somebody who's in a job who finds that, you know, they're not making the kind of advancements they'd like to, and they need coaching help. You help people like that as well, right?
Yes, yes. In fact, I had a coaching session just like that yesterday. What will happen is, like you said, they're advanced. Maybe they have the tools. They just don't know what to do with the tools. And I find a lot of times with leadership coaching and development, that's what it's just it's just, you know, polishing them, making sure their skills are just right so they can be the good leaders. And you see a lot of this today because of some of the downsizings that have happened in certain industries. Folks have been promoted. Maybe they weren't ready for that promotion. And the company realizes this, but they don't want to lose that person. So they'll bring me in to talk to them, you know, to go over. And usually in conversations like that, you're talking about what are your communication skills what do you consider what a leader should do and should not do? And then it's a lot of talking, a lot of discussion. And then at the end, the gentleman yesterday was actually my last meeting with him. He was in a warehouse. I mean, this company just thought, you know, we want him to be the best supervisor he can be. And they do this for all their new promotions. And at the end, he said to me, you know, I feel like what we talked about, I know it was for my position, but I think that a lot of the things you talked to me about will make me a better person too. He says, especially about communication and listening and things like that. So, you know, you can take your crosswise. But I do a lot of work like that, especially when they're newly promoted, to make sure that they're going to be okay. And I always tell them, you know, it's okay to make a mistake, but own the mistake and learn from it. I says, you know, and don't make it again.
Yeah, obviously. That's very important. Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking of the people you meet and work with people from all kinds of industries. I mean, you're well in, you know, very knowledgeable of the banking industry, but Pittsburgh has a lot of other kinds of manufacturing industries. You work with people in those fields as well. I just want to ask, what do you think makes you so unique in your ability to be able to help these people who have such diverse backgrounds and talents, and yet still help them find other work? It's tough.
It can be. I'll be the first to admit, when I get some of the nuclear engineers, they talk about, they use verbiage I've never even heard of. I tell myself, okay, you have to explain this to me. And especially, you know, I get the same with healthcare and things like that. But at the end of the day, Doug, they're all people. They're all just trying to do their job. What they'll tell me is they'll tell me what they do, and then I make them look good. I mean, they're already looking good, but I have the words that I can say, you know, is this what you mean? And they'll look at it and they'll go, yes. And then this is how you present yourself. I've just found, you figure I started out my career doing a lot of work in the steel industry. And then I went to the banking industry, and I worked with union and non-union. I worked with CEOs and presidents and all the way in between. If you just consider they're all people and they all have the same concerns and the same worries, it makes the job a little easier. And they're not offended if you tell them, oh, what kind of welding do you do? What is that?
Yeah.
And they're more than happy to explain it to you. And how I've been successful.
You have indeed been successful. And, you know, I love talking to you. I wish we had more time, Celeste. It's been great having you as a guest on these shows. Our guest has been Celeste Calfee. Her company is Calfee & Associates. They're based in Natrona Heights, Pennsylvania. Again, it's in the Pittsburgh area. And they have a great website. If you're, you know, if you're looking for work, you know you're about to be downsized or you're out of work, go to their website. It's Calfee, C-A-L-F-E. Associates.com, CalfeeAssociates.com. You'll learn what this company does. You'll learn how to get in direct contact with Celeste, and obviously she can certainly be of help to you. Celeste, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. Okay, it's been great having you as a guest. All right?
Thank you. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. That's it for this edition of CUTV News Radio, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us, and have a great day now. Go out and enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening. And from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.